This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, welcome as we continue. It is hour number two. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. We'll also talk some more in the NFL, especially the Thursday night matchup if you're just joining us. Yes, we've been talking a lot about what the Dolphins knew, what they didn't know, and how in the world did Tua Tagovailoa get thrown to the ground twice in 4 days if the NFL actually does care about its concussions and concussion protocol. Was it followed? Did they do everything right? A lot of people do not think they did. But we also will talk about some of the games that are coming up this weekend. There are some critical games coming up. And the one that I was looking at yesterday and sort of going over the schedule is the Las Vegas Raiders, because they are 0-3. They're the only winless team that is left in the NFL. And as I said earlier this morning, you can't win the Super Bowl in the first couple of weeks, but my God, you can put yourself in a position where you're not going to be competitive. I think if you are 0-4, if you're the Raiders, that is it. I don't think there's a Dolphin-esque like level of where you win seven games in a row after losing seven games, and you put yourself in a position to at least try to make the playoffs much better than you were at one point in the season. You can recover, this league can, and there is an extra wild card team, and if they were playing in the NFC, I'd be more optimistic, but they're not. And so they've got this critical game coming up against the Broncos. And what's interesting is, despite the fact that the Broncos are 2-1, they do look beatable. And what is interesting about the Raiders is, at 0-3, they've had trouble on the offensive line, kind of like the Bengals. They've used seven different combinations. Devontae Adams has a touchdown catch in the first three games of the season, but they never use him. They hardly ever use him. Now, that could be coverage and all of those other circumstances, but they've got to find a way to get him in the game more. They got to have him be a part of what they're doing offensively, no matter how what that looks like. The Broncos are an interesting team. In the first two games of the season, first three games of the season, their offense can't do anything. They're 1-for-7 in the red zone for touchdowns. One touchdown in seven trips to the red zone. And yet their defense is keeping them in games because their defense is only allowing 12 points. Now, the Raiders and the Broncos is a really good NFL rivalry. It is hated. It's when I lived in Denver, it was called Raider Week, like it is a lot of other places around the country when you get a rivalry week. But the Raiders have won the last six meetings against Denver, and if they get it to seven, they can get themselves back into this thing. But if they don't, and if that streak comes to an end, 0-4, I don't think you'll be seeing them much as the season progresses, or hearing about them much as the season progresses. But good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb Friday edition. We send you into the weekend with all of the good, all of the bad, all of the dumb. But here it is, the good of the day.
Good of the day I'm going to give it to the Danish national team.
The Danish national
team. Yeah, Denmark's national soccer team that's going to be playing in the 2022 World Cup coming up. Their jerseys maker, their uniform maker, Hummel. Both of them are kind of collaborated to do a silent protest against the country Qatar. And the way they're doing it is, obviously they're making it. There's revenue to be made. They still got to play the game. But the jerseys themselves will have really no identifying marks on it. They're there. You just will not be able to see them.
Oh, okay.
It would be as if, like, if Nike and the NFL or the Nike and the Dolphins decided to protest concussions, right? I'm just using that because that's what's on our mind right now. And the Nike logo is there, but you couldn't see it.
Okay, so...
So, in a way, they're protesting. It's a silent protest because it's like, yes, we're going to go there. Because, they earned their right to play in the World Cup. And, for these players, it's a, dream of theirs, obviously. But they cannot support the atrocities that have been going on in Qatar.
Yeah.
So this is just a way. It's a little silent thing. Now, I don't know how the country's going to respond.
Yeah.
Qatar's going to respond to this. And, will life be a little bit harder for Denmark, as far as like, you don't have your travel passes in order and stuff like that, because they can do that. But I think it's a way of doing it without making a big deal of it. I don't know. I thought it was a clever thing to do.
Yeah, it was a clever thing to do. Yeah, that's very good. I'm interested to see what the response is going to be.
Yeah.
If you're Cutter, do you just go, well, since nobody's going to see
whatever. Yeah, I mean, they may just say whatever.
Over, we're done. Whatever.
Right. You know, but I mean,
it's like the Saudi Arabian Golf League. It's like LIV. Everyone's yelling about LIV, but they're like, yep. Just keep plowing through. We'll just keep paying the money, and one day you guys will stop talking about it, and then that'll be it, because we know what you guys do. You talk about it for a while, then nothing ever happens.
But at the same time, you know, it does blow my mind of like, you know, why? I mean, you can see when you see the jersey, you can see the Denmark logo. You can see like, you know, their logo. But it's almost appears invisible. I mean, it's like literally done with the same threading that's the jersey. But it's still there. You can see. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, very good. Very good. That's awesome.
It's interesting. And, you know, hey, thinking outside the box, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I wonder if there's going to be any star player that ever talks about it leading up to the World Cup. Just says, oh, yeah, you know what? And I'm not a fan of this.
I don't think it's going to happen. I know what you're talking about. Like if like a Ronaldo or a Messi, someone who was known around the world. I mean, you could have. The last Denmark player we really knew was Christian Eriksen. He was the guy who had the cardiac arrest on the field.
Right.
I mean that, you know, and he was known for all the wrong reasons. I mean, if you're not in the soccer circle, you know, you probably wouldn't even know most of Denmark's players, anyways. But I am curious, like, you know, would you ever get to a point where Messi would be like, no, I can't play there?
No, I don't mean that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, we don't like going here. We are going here, but we want to use it. For example, when Formula One went to Saudi Arabia, there were a couple of drivers that said it, but then they raced. Like, they didn't not race. You know what I mean? They raced, and it was like, all right, you spoke out about it, but then you participated in the thing you were criticizing participating in. Right. So it doesn't carry in a lot of weight, but they still spoke. And I wonder if someone will say, look, I'm playing in this World Cup, but I don't think this country should be having this World Cup. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I think it was fraudulent. And I think this country has got to answer for some human rights violations. But we're still participating. I'm still going to try to win for my country. But I'm just letting the world know this is where I stand on this. I don't know. But you're probably right. None of them probably will do it. We'll see. Because there's only a few people in the world that can do it and not worry at all about what that means. You know, like they've got that money where it's like nothing can happen to me. Nothing.
Right? I mean, and to a larger point, too, this, I mean, you know, it's hard for because at the main surface of it, you got to point the finger at FIFA, your governing body. It would be like, you know, if you wanted to protest against concussions or like how the Miami Dolphins handled concussions. But really, you got to point a finger at the NFL. And it's like, and that becomes harder to do because like that's your livelihood, that's your bread and butter.
Well, it's the other thing too is like, all right, so you can criticize a country like Qatar for human rights violations, but in the end, you can't criticize them for having the World Cup. Like they just went through the system, right?
Right.
And the system was corrupt, and they just played the game.
Yep.
They wanted the World Cup. They found out in the process that if they did X, Y, and Z like other countries have done, they could get the World Cup, and then they did. So that's not something I would be critical of them. I would be critical about them, about how when you see these big, glorious stadiums, how in the world that they got built,
yep,
and what kind of labor was used to build them. And I would talk about the human rights violations that they've had in their country. But them actually getting the World Cup, you're right, that's a FIFA problem.
So. Yeah, that's and you've got to point a finger at them.
Yep. All right, what's the bad of the day?
I'm curious about this one, but there is a new documentary coming to Peacock. So if you don't have that streaming service, you know,
kinda
must open the wallet
one.
Anymore. Ugh. But this this documentary is on Barney the Dinosaur.
What is now, the controversial thing about Barney the
now
Dinosaur?
I'm going to, just to refresh people's minds, that if you were not a kid in the 90s, or, you know, if you were too busy to notice pop culture things in the 90s. Barney is a purple dinosaur that sang to kids.
That's great that you set that up. I think that was kind of universal.
I'm hoping. I don't know. Just in case people don't remember, you know, or don't know. But apparently this purple beloved dinosaur that sang to kids received many, many, many death threats.
Of course.
And to the point where there were shootings.
There was somebody tried to shoot.
There's a whole behind the scenes thing that with Barney the Dinosaur almost made it dangerous to work for Barney on Barney the Dinosaur. I'm curious about it, but at the same time, I almost find it laughable because I can't picture it going that far.
I can't wait to see the trailer for this where they start showing the awesomeness of this and then the dark side of it, and then they try to sell you on this.
Yeah.
Like, what could they sell you on this? Because they've done these documentaries where then it takes a twist and you're like, oh, that sounds like a good story. I mean, why would I be sucked into this rabbit hole?
Apparently there were murder plots.
Oh.
So.
All right. Now, is it because parents were annoyed with it, or is somebody owed money, or what was going on?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It just, you know, it kind of geared it more towards it being about the dinosaur than maybe, you know, other nefarious things going on behind the scenes.
Okay. Well, so. I'm not going to watch it, but I will hope somebody will and then put a review on it.
Yeah, let us know, because, you know, I've already lived through Barney the Dinosaur. I once had to dress up like Barney.
My wife was telling me at her job there was a patient that came in and the kid was playing Baby Shark from Cocomelon, and she was ready to tell the kid to turn it off.
I don't blame her.
He played it over and over and over again.
I don't blame her.
Turn it off.
I've heard that song one too many times as well.
Hey, yeah, exactly. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
CIA. You know, they're the smartest government agency we have, right?
Right.
Well, they apparently are getting into the Woolly Mammoth Resurrection game.
Tell me more about this.
They, too, are backing a company called Colossal, who plan to resurrect the long-extinct woolly mammoth. And they don't see a problem with it and are, I guess, assisting as much in ways that they can with their scientists. And
Okay. All right. So here's what just happened. You said CIA's resurrecting woolly mammoths. I said, tell me more. And you went, they're trying to resurrect woolly mammoths? How are they doing that?
Well, I mean, you know, the company Colossal. We've talked about them before.
What's the technology behind it?
They're doing it the same way.
They're not doing it like Michael Creighton's thing. There's no way, is there? Are they?
In a way, yes.
They got DNA and they're just putting it in a lab?
Yeah, they're doing it very similar to how they clone sheep.
Okay, what happens if they're successful at this?
Exactly.
If they're successful at this,
where do you stop?
Are we going to have velociraptors running around in our lives?
Okay, you know, I look at it this way, right? Resurrecting a woolly mammoth, probably not a danger to the world. I mean, they're hairy elephants.
But somebody's going to bring back a T-Rex,
right? That's my thing. Where does it stop?
That's what I'm getting at. Like, okay, why is the CIA doing this? Is the CIA doing this because they're like, you ain't doing a thing without us. Like, we're going to make sure that this thing, like that technology, we want to know about it. Or are they doing it like, ooh, if my woolly mammoth can take over the world?
No, I mean, the statement from them was, never before has humanity been able to harness the power of this technology to rebuild ecosystems, heal our Earth, and preserve its future through the repopulation of extinct animals.
No, they're not doing that. Stop. No. You're not doing that. You're trying to figure out how to make it a weapon. Just admit it. Just come out and say it. We want an army of woolly mammoths
probably right.
invading other countries.
With lasers on their freaking heads.
With lasers on their heads. Like, don't pretend like you're trying to restore the planet. Stop. That's what they'll say about AI, too. They'll be like, AI can help us cure cancer, and we'll become its slaves, but it doesn't matter. We'll have a cure for cancer. Yes, stop. Right? Stop. It's going to be like a Vincent D'Onofrio in that Jurassic Park movie, where he like takes the velociraptors and puts weapons on them.
Yep.
Weapons of war. Oh God. CIA.
So, all right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if a woolly mammoth was impenetrable. Maybe they watched Lord of the Rings too much.
What?
Because remember, didn't they have woolly? They had like a big elephant type thing, and that's how they transported armies across the
Hannibal with the elephants back in the day.
Yeah.
Why isn't anybody just listening to Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park? Right.
Why does he come out instead of being Dr. Ian Malcolm? come out and just be Jeff Goldblum.
That's right. Just do that line that you use when the guy said, if I were to bring back a condor. No. Dinosaurs had their time. Nature chose them to be extinct. Why can't we just do that with woolly mammoths? Like, we didn't do anything. We didn't overhunt the woolly mammoth. No. They just died out. Why are we bringing them back? This isn't the passenger pigeon.
It's, you know, like the condor. That was because of us just mowing down forest after forest after forest.
Got rid of the condor.
You know, getting rid of their land.
So sad. But the woolly mammoth had their time. Nature chose them.
I don't.
Let's just leave it there.
And I get, you know, if you wanted to bring back an animal now because, you know, like the white rhino, because of poachers just killing them left and right. I can understand that. But we're talking about a woolly mammoth that hasn't been around on this, you know, hasn't been around for like 28, 30,000 years, maybe longer.
Be careful with this.
But yeah, no, I mean, I know that they have found like perfectly preserved frozen woolly mammoths. Like there's one they found, I remember it was like in Siberia. They found that was, I mean, it looked as if it died the day before.
Oof.
It was perfectly frozen. I mean, you just grab that DNA and just run with it because you got it full. You got everything you need.
Until they find a frozen T-Rex.
You don't have to sequence in a frog's DNA to fill in the gaps.
Boom. Dino DNA. God. All right, that's good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. And like I said, top of the news today is the Tua Tagovailoa injury. In the 27-15 win by the Cincinnati Bengals, he left the game on a stretcher in the second quarter, and it did shake up the halftime staff of Amazon, including Ryan Fitzpatrick, who played with Tua. And also, even Richard Sherman looked like he was shaken up. And former players know this is one of their biggest fears of something like this happening, getting taken out on a stretcher, being uncertain. And that's the one thing about it is when you are taken off on a stretcher, there's your mind kind of goes to places like what is the, you know, what exactly is this? Why did they have to take him out? Because you're not getting any information. Nobody is doing a play-by-play on the scene of what exactly is being said or heard, who's saying what to who. So you're not getting any information. You're just getting speculation. And with speculation comes a lot of people's emotion, right? So, you know, you can see a player limp off the field, and you know through experience, if you follow this league, that there could be a sprain, it could be broken, it could, you know, it could be a torn ACL. Like, if you don't really know what the injury is, but you see somebody limping, your brain goes to all these different places, and you have this sort of thing like, okay, the worst that's going to happen is he's out. He's just out for one game, the whole season, seven games, whatever. But seeing a player limp off the field, it makes you go, okay, I can see they're holding their right leg in some way. Maybe it looks like an ACL. I saw the ankle twist. Maybe it's an ankle injury. But you keep it in football context, right? It's like, well, when will I get to see this player again? Maybe it's not serious and I'll see him play right away. Or maybe, just maybe, it'll be a season-ending injury. And even injuries like TJ Watt at the beginning of the season, who suffered a torn pec muscle, where you're like, does it require surgery? Because if it does, he's out for the season. But if it doesn't, he could come back and help the Steelers down the road. We always put it in these football contexts. But when you see a player get taken out on a stretcher, the mindset isn't, oh my God, is he ever going to play again this season? Because we're certainly going to need him for the good old stretch run. When you see a player taken out on a stretcher and you don't have any other information other than what you saw and why they may be doing it, your brain goes into a different place. It goes into a place of, well, why is he being taken out on a stretcher? Why is he being strapped in? Why is he being taken to the hospital? How serious is this? Does he have movement in his extremities? Because you're not caring about whether or not he has movement in his extremities so he can come back in week 6 or week 10. You care about it because you know, and I know, that the underlying thing about all of these kind of injuries where a player is taken out and does suffer a hand injury or suffers a neck injury or anything like that that requires a stretcher to be involved is that we could be talking about paralysis, and we could be talking about an injury that's career ending. Those are the kind of things that we worry about as fans. And in this situation, it as I said in hour one, it numbed me to this game. I found myself really diving into social media to get people's perspective on this and find, you know, look, and it wasn't just the normal fans yelling about this or that or this or that. I was looking for some authoritative voices, right? And like I said, there was this one doctor who just laid out, he's a concussion specialist. He laid out all of his concerns, why he was concerned in his years and years and years and working in this particular field, all of the things that he saw that made him analyze this in a certain way. There was a sense of somebody explain this to me. Somebody help me deal with this. I kept my own opinions based on how many times I've seen this in the league where there's been a concussion and we've wondered how healthy the person is. But at the same time, now we're dealing with a concussion, a possible concussion against Buffalo, and now a definite concussion against Cincinnati, all in the span of 4 days. I don't ever want to tell people that an argument for something is irrelevant because of the circumstances. I think arguments for or against something are always relevant regardless of whether or not you can make change. Right. I will never live in my lifetime ever where the income tax is abolished. I think that genie is out of the bottle. The United States is never going to go, you know what? Nobody has to pay income tax anymore.
We're good.
You know what? We're good. We enacted it, you know, 100 years ago, whenever. Oh, I think it was FDR, actually. So maybe not even that long. And you know what? We realized that this is detrimental to everyone's pocketbook. So we're out. I don't care who says what. It's never going to happen. And in that regard, too, when I saw people on Twitter last night saying we've got to abolish these Thursday night games, we all know that's never going to happen. No. That genie is out of the bottle, too. That's never happening. There was 100 million reasons why that's never going to happen.
In fact, I will say this, right? It was 2020, the 2020 season where we kept having games on weird days. And
right.
Like we literally, for the first time ever, had a game every single day of the week. We can look back on a calendar. If the NFL can find a good way to do that, that the players union can get could also approve, they would have games every single day.
Well, here's the problem with that. You'd have to structure the schedule.
I mean, it would be a
nightmare.
It has
to be a disaster. It would be a disaster.
I'm saying is that
if they could sell it to yet another entity, yeah, of course.
You know, where everyone has, you know, there's another broadcast channel that has exclusive rights on that night. Oh, my God.
So my question is, what's the answer? If the answer isn't abolishment, it's not going to be abolishment. Again, like I said earlier with the income tax, I hear people's argument for that all the time. There's always somebody like, these are the top 10 reasons why we should abolish the income tax. You go, well, it's never going to happen, but these are good arguments, right? But in this case, there's a lot of good arguments as to why we shouldn't be playing on Thursday night. And the main one comes from the players themselves. But since we are going to be playing on Thursday night and people tend to like Thursday night football and it's part of our sports viewing schedule, is there a way to make it so that when you have these games, there's a way to structure it so that we're not playing on 4 days out, right? I don't know if there is. I don't know if there is because people have sort of said, well, maybe the teams that are playing can have a bye week before. Yeah, well, they like to get these things off and running, don't they? Like, they like to get them, like, they like the contract. You don't want your bye week to come in week two, right? Like, because you're playing a Thursday night game. So this is what we're left with. We're left with a player that suffered an injury that we didn't know much about and never really got full clarity of it that was convincing enough, suffering another injury 4 days later that make us go, what exactly happened here? Right? Like, what are we talking about? A player that suffered two NFL concussions in 4 days. That's what we're talking about. So the question is, how do you make Thursday night football safer? I don't think there's a way. I think this is just part of the way this league is. And I don't think bye weeks coming before are going to work unless you want this thing to go to May. I mean, March. I don't know. All right, more on the NFL. And we'll get into the college game as well. Some good games coming up this weekend. We continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call
on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's, and I waited for it. I knew sometimes I throw a little bait out in the water, and Michael, like a fish, just can't help himself.
Uh-oh.
Reels it in. Michael, income tax has been around since 1913, 16th Amendment under Woodrow Wilson. Bravo, my man.
There it is.
Bravo. Bravo. I knew if I just kind of threw out some vague timeline for the income tax.
Let's repeal that amendment.
So, yeah, let's repeal the income tax. But like I was saying, sometimes, you know, you hear arguments for it and you go, yeah, that makes total sense. But, you know, it's never going to happen. Same thing with the NFL. Players have complained about Thursday night games since the start of Thursday night games.
Yeah.
They have been doing that forever, and it's not going away. It's never going away. We got to find a way to make it better.
They hate that quick turnaround, Sunday to Thursday, yeah. But they love the Thursday to Sunday.
Right, right. Exactly.
Or and Thursday to the following Sunday, I should say.
The thing, too, is like, it's that's right. It's like, well, you play Sunday, but you play again Thursday, but you get a longer rest period. So it's like getting a little mini, tiny, tiny bye because you get a couple of days, a little bit. So I don't, you know, there's just no real way to do it. And look, this is not my argument to the players. Like, safety should be number one concern over revenue. It should always, you know, safety should never. But the reality of it is that if you're a wide receiver and you're making $30 million a year, you're kind of making $30 million a year because they play Thursday night football. Like, there's a kind of a reason. As the industry grows financially, you also are growing financially. That's the labor agreement that you have, is that you guys get a percentage of the pie. And the pie grows, your income grows. And like I said, that's not to say that I'm putting safety over revenue, but part of the perks of being able to play one game on Thursday night, or maybe two games on Thursday night, is that you're sharing an $11 billion pie, you know, rather than a $2 billion pie. That was the case years and years ago. So that's sort of the benefit. And as a fan, yeah, it's cool. It's a good game. But there were times where it wasn't a good game. I wouldn't have vouched for the awesomeness of Thursday night when I saw Jacksonville, Tennessee, the years they stunk. Playing. How many times do we joke about Thursday night games being the worst teams in the NFL? Color rush games.
Color rush.
By the way, the white jerseys are a hit. I got to admit, they're a hit. I love them. I thought
taking it to the field was a little too much.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, all right, we kind of get it.
Yeah. But
yeah, those white helmets.
I thought they were great.
Yeah.
I thought they looked good. They looked sharp. Very, very nice. And the Dolphins in there all aqua blue,
turquoise, or whatever
the color, whatever official color that is. Yeah. I just called it dolphin blue.
Dolphin blue,
like,
green.
For a long time, I would see that color and go, "Well, that's dolphin blue." I'm like, "What do you mean dolphin blue?" I don't know. I don't know the name of it. It's just, it looks like the Miami Dolphins.
Leave it's Pantone.
Yeah, I don't.
176.
Exactly. I don't know what the code is. I don't know. I don't want to get that wheel out and start adjusting colors. It's whatever. It's dolphin blue. So do it that way. In fact, if you're the NFL, you should pitch calling certain colors names after teams.
Isn't there one that already is that?
Yeah. Like, there's a you team can't that do are, it with the Steelers or something like that, but.
Yeah, but there's a team. Dodger blue is an actual color.
Dodger blue is an
that's
actual color.
That's
right.
The one I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
It's do an it actual that color that you can go and paint your house with.
Like, Jerry Jones should ask. He probably does, probably knows, but if he doesn't, he should ask anyway. He should ask his team. Is like, hey, what exactly is the color of our star? Don't just say dark blue. Is it like two shades this, a shade this, a shade? Like, is it special? It may look to the naked eye like any other dark blue, but is it special? And if they find out it is, call it cowboy blue.
Yep.
Like, do it that way. Because you don't need that much adjustment in color to own a color, I would think. And if we can name stars after people, can't we just name colors after people, since there's like almost an infinite
combination? Or after teams?
Yeah, or after teams.
I mean, hey, you know what? Paint companies, it'll help guys out a long way.
I know. You
know
what?
They can walk into a place and go, yeah, you know what? I need some cowboy blue. I need that Packer green.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
And throw a little Steeler black.
Hey, that's a Wasn't there an ad where a guy was a Red Sox fan, was for a paint company, he wanted the Fenway Green Monster, he wanted it Fenway Green?
Yeah.
And he had to get the exact thing? Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And you'd just be doing guys a favor all around the country.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like if you're a fan of the Packers, right, and you're like, I got a man cave, and I want to paint this wall, and you walked into the paint place, and you're like, Packers, and they're like, well, this look kind of, and you're like, no, I don't
Forest
know.
Green, Kelly Green.
Like, I guess, would this work? And you're like, no, and they're like showing you a bunch of palettes, and you're trying to guess. You're like, no, how about Packer Green? And like, it's funny that you mentioned that. We actually have that.
Or they, you know, here you go, Madison Avenue. If you're doing a thing, you know, you can show like almost like grain, not black and white, but like that grainy faded color that shows like, you know, you remember before it used to be like this. Now, you know, then it's a guy just walks in and goes, hey, I want Packer Green. Here you go, sir.
Here you go, sir.
Take it there on the shelf. Let us just shake it up a little bit for you.
Exactly. All right, so again, we've been harping on this injury all morning, and rightfully so. It is the top story of the day. We will get to the games coming up this weekend. Brian Barrett is going to join us in hour and three to give us what's going on with Ime Udoka. By the way, that story, okay, I got a little, can I rant a little bit here?
Rant away.
I'm going to rant a little bit here. If you are an analyst and you have nothing to say, keep your mouth shut on the Ime Udoka stuff. Don't do that thing where you're like, a friend of mine knows a person who tells me it's real bad, but I can't get into it. If you don't want to get into it, don't do that thing where you're relevant and getting on podcasts and radio shows and whatnot because you know something you claim to know, but you can't say anything about it. There's more to this Ime Udoka story than we are getting. We know that. We have no idea when it is ever going to be released, but we know that there's a lot more than just two people dating in the Celtics office and him possibly cheating in his relationship with Nia Long. Those two aren't married, but they have a child together. So Matt Barnes, I'm looking at Matt Barnes. If you want to say something about it and you have something to add to it, something that you can say, I heard from a source, that's fine. But don't do that thing where I'm connected, but I can't tell you anything. I don't want to hear you on a podcast because you've offered nothing. Okay? So that's my one problem with when you hire 500 of these people, right, who can say, well, when I played, this was common and blah, blah, blah. But they don't really add anything.
No, I would say right now there's probably 5 to 10 people who know what's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Brian Barrett is going to give us what they know in Boston and how this is affecting the Celtics and what they've heard.
Because you know, it's a huge local story. They're probably talking about it a lot more often than what we hear. But all the big tidbits, we would have heard.
Yeah. There was an agent that came out and said, based on what he knows, he said, and again, I don't know why people, is it maybe because it's a complicated legalistic thing, but nobody wants to say what they heard or know. And he said, based on what he knows, he said, Ime Udoka will never coach in the NBA again.
Yeah.
He was that bold. He said, this, what happened, he will never coach. And that's it's a bold statement because we've seen the exact opposite happen. How many times have we said, nah, he'll be fine. Yeah, no, that scandal will go away. No. You're
Except
mad
if
at
you're
him
Art
today.
Briles, that's the one we always said. Art Briles
is
the only one.
Because that was really, really awful.
And I'll say this. I mean, I don't know all the details yet. But I can't put Ime Udoka in the Art Briles category yet. Art Briles is in the category by himself.
Art Briles covered up rape. His players raped co-eds, and then he covered it up. And he covered it up knowing what they did to protect players on his football team so they could continue to play for him. That's an almost unforgivable act. If you have a consensual relationship against you made a mistake and you tried to hide it and you tried to lie about it, okay, that's between them and the Celtics. It didn't affect the overall, you know, like, innocent people that got hurt. When you're in a relationship and you're the one that got cheated on, you can make that case. But there were women who were sexually assaulted on the Baylor campus whose parents sent them there to get an education, and they ran into the wrong people, and those people took advantage of them, and because they played football, Art Briles protected those people and used authoritative figures to protect those people, and he deserved to lose his job and never coach again. In this case, it would be hard for me, unless there was something unbelievably damaging where he threatened the lives of people and whatnot, that would make me think he couldn't overcome this in 10 years.
Right.
He's a 45-year-old man. Like, the idea that, like, 10 years from now, he's like, man, I coached a, a small college, and I stayed involved in the game, and I did some scouting, and I went overseas, and I worked my way. And they're like, you know, but what happened in 2022, man, we'll never get over that.
Who,
like,
Rick Pitino was able to overcome all the allegations that he's faced. I mean, yeah, sure, he had to go and coach over in Europe for a little bit, but he came back.
But he came back. He's got Iona in the tournament. Yeah, he's doing that. So that's really hard to believe. By the way, Malika Andrews, who hosts the NBA show, NBA Countdown, the one that Rachel Nichols used to host.
Yeah.
She was she called Stephen A. Smith's show because she wanted to talk about this. Now, I debated whether I was going to bring this up, but since we're on the Ime Udoka thing, I thought I would. So this happened a while ago where Stephen A. Smith was on his show talking, and she somehow felt like she needed to call into the show to argue with Stephen A. Smith about some points. Now, I've been in this business a long time. Some of that is sometimes it's organic, right? Sometimes it is a host going, I've done this with radio shows where I've seen shows where somebody's talking about the Broncos, let's say, and some other host on another time slot goes, I can't let that go, man. I got to call Joe on his show. And they do that. And sometimes it's organic that it's real, and sometimes it's manufactured, where a producer goes, you know what would be fun? I know that they talked about it in the morning, and they have a different opinion. Let's call them up, and let's get them to fight on the air because it's good radio. Malika Andrews calling Stephen A. Smith's show, I guess, is good TV. I mean, she tried to argue some points. But if I would have been really careful with that, because Malika Andrews is young. She's 27. This is not an age thing, but she is young. And she went on a show to chastise one of their biggest television stars on his program. And if that really was organic, even if it made great TV, like it was kind of interesting to watch him sort of try not to talk down to her, but at the same time talk down to her. If I was Stephen A. Smith, I would have been upset. I would have said, hey, listen, I want to be able to make my points. I want to be able to make my opinion. I want to be able to say my thoughts, and I don't need a phone call coming in from Malika Andrews. I'm here. She just got started. She's chastising me on my own show. It made for good TV, but it really was awkward to see it. But it just goes to show you, my overall point is, it just goes to show you how that story, the Ime Udoka story, really hit a lot of people in a different way, right? There was a lot of people saying, no, this is no big deal. People have relationships in the office all the time. And even if it is a cheating situation, we can't get involved in the relationship between employees and their spouses or girlfriends or fiancés or whoever. You know, and the Celtics overreacted to a guy that may have struggled in his relationship with his girlfriend and found love somewhere else. And who are we to be the judge? And then there were others that said, no, 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 hold on. There's way more than that. It is way more than that.
And see, that's what I'm curious about. Like, what's the more?
Right.
Because I've been arguing this is that, you know, hey, the Celtics have it plain and simple. You can't date within the workforce. You know, and I was making that argument that if Ime Udoka worked with the Lakers, probably be okay. Because we all know Phil Jackson and Jeannie Buss had a relationship going on for years.
Right.
You know, or had, you know, Ime Udoka was coaching for another team. This situation may not be the thing. But as more stories came out, I was like, oh, you know what? I don't think it's about the relationship.
I don't think it is.
I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That's it.
You saw Brad Stevens and you saw the Celtics owner, and they looked like they were... Like they were in every single conference they could be in with attorneys who went over every detail.
Yeah.
And they went, you're going to have a press conference, and these are the five things you can't say. Here's a few things you can say, but don't touch this. Don't touch that. We're still working out these things. And so there's a lot more than that. But the reason I brought up Stephen A. Smith and Malika Andrews is because it was one side that just couldn't. She couldn't help it. She's like, I'm going to have to speak out on this because it affected her in a way that it didn't affect Stephen A. Smith. This is that big. It's that big of a story. So Brian Barrett's going to join us in hour number three as we continue. It's a wake-up call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, Robert on Facebook. NFL should have two bye weeks. This wouldn't work perfectly, but you could have four teams play on Thursday night for 3 weeks in a row. Then they could play a doubleheader. Then the next week play one of them, the other teams. Also, why don't they do Tuesday night football? It seems even more natural than Thursday night. Believe me, if they could do Tuesday night football, they would, right, Ron?
I've gone cross-eyed.
They would.
That's what I said. I mean, if they could find a way to go 7 days a week, they would do 7 days a week.
It's just really complicated. I mean, look, if you're the Players Association, you do limit that. You have to say, look, let's be realistic about this. This is not baseball. We're not playing every day. And we can't have guys playing on Wednesday and then being told, yeah, it's unfortunate, but due to circumstances, you have to play Sunday.
Besides, like, doesn't the Mac own Tuesday nights?
Yeah, isn't it Mac football Tuesday night? I mean, is there a way to work it if you wanted to extend the season even further and play the Super Bowl during March Madness?
Yes.
You could. You could give teams more bye weeks.
That's what I'm saying, because the NFL would see that. You know how lucrative that deal would be to sell it? You know, say it's, I don't know, Paramount or Peacock or whatever. You know, it's a streaming-only service that will show the NFL game on Tuesday, just like Amazon.
Yeah.
God, they'd be breaking in, like, you know, each day would be a $1 billion paycheck.
It would, if they definitely could do it, they would do it. But the Players Association definitely has a say in all this. And like I said, they are torn between player safety on these short weeks and the unbelievable revenue that they get to be a part of. All right, Hour 3 coming up next. We'll go over all the games, some things to know about all the games, and then Brian Barrett will join us in Boston. Talk Celtics.